So Sunday mornings, I get up kind of early, and the Lord and I spend a good deal of time together, and it's the opportunity, not the only opportunity, but to say, so Lord, you adjust or you tweak what it is that I think you've given me for the day. So fun. Thompson and Hope and Marley Jo spent the night with us. And I was walking to the other end of the house and I hear this little voice. She's about 9 months old, so she doesn't speak yet. I think I heard her say, Doc, which is my grandpa name. But, you know, I don't know. But she was singing a little song. And not even mom and dad were awake. And here's what I just sensed the Father saying. David, you're loving this. But in worship, I love it even more. When you come to worship, when you come to sing, we're lifting him up and we're exalting him and he loves it. I was thinking about what I would preach on Mother's Day. Now this might sound interesting to you, but I've been in ministry for over 30 years, but it could possibly be that I've preached less than 10 Mother's Day sermons. So I start off in ministry, and not until 94 do we move to Dripping Springs where I become pastor. And so, of course, it was my responsibility, my duty to do Mother's Day sermons. So probably 94, 95, 96, 97. Now, in 97, it was a big year. I mean, 96 is a big year because on Father's Day, Bethany's born. And that was the first Sunday after she was born. And so, you know, that was big, big day there. And so 98, 99, 2000, I come to the ABA. And what's amazing is none of our pastors have lost their minds enough to be gone on Mother's Day. I mean, who would do that? And so I was trying to figure out how many Mother's Day sermons that I preached and what do you preach on and this kind of thing. But I can tell you this, just like many of you, even if you're online next to your mama there, you do not miss Mother's Day. 2 years ago, which would have been the last Mother's Day that we were with my mother, we were in Dallas. We went to a church where Robert Morris preaches, where my sister and brother-in-law attend church there. And here we are as a whole family. We went to lunch afterwards, and what did we do? We just spent time with mom. We kind of knew, based on where her health was, that this might be the last. And so in terms of a very meaningful, very memorable Mother's Day, that was a big one. Now, I don't know all of your names, but I know many of you. I know my friend Eddie Aruspa's mother is in the last stages of her life. And this is a hard Mother's Day. I know for some of you, your mother has passed over this past year, and this is a difficult Mother's Day for you. I have family and friends, ladies, who've wanted their entire life to have a child, and God has not answered that prayer, and Mother's Day is a difficult day for them. So if you're here today and you know, you're married and you have kids and you have grandkids and you have great-grandkids, we celebrate you, but moms, we celebrate all of you. In fact, ladies, we just celebrate you today. And we want to thank the Lord for you. There you go. I like that. Now, if you're like me, there are some things that were invented that, man, you would have loved to have this on your resume. Annette Jarvis initiated the idea of Mother's Day in 1905. And she initiated this in honor of her deceased mother that she wanted to let everybody know how special her mom was. It wasn't until 9 years later that President Woodrow Wilson made it a national observance. And then 43 years after it started, or after Anna Jarvis first initiated this, there were 43 countries around the world that celebrated Mother's Day. And from my best research, Every country, every nation, every language, everywhere, they figure out a way to say thank you to mom. Today, I wish we had $100 bills, new cars, and everything. Ladies, you're going to have to suffice with a bookmark and a carnation. But I'm telling you, if we could give you a monetary gift, where would we begin? You're amazing. You're extraordinary. And I want to suggest to all of us that are not mothers that godly mothers, especially during the time in which we live, these challenging days, they deserve our support. Because you can read all kinds of research, all kinds of statistics, and what's going on, there's an unbelievable way in which ladies somehow have a way of connecting and helping and leading that the rest of us cannot. I've got a young guy that I'm mentoring, and he's a freshman in high school. Went to his lacrosse game yesterday. And he plays defense. His coach let him play offense. And I was sitting next to his dad, and his mom's sitting over here. And he scores his first goal because he's a defender. He doesn't typically play offense, but the coach knew, hey, we're probably going to win this one. We'll put the defenders up. He scores it. And it was so funny because when he scored it, who did he look at? He looked at mom. And I was just ornery enough to look at dad. That's why I'm glowing. I forgot to wear a hat. But I'm looking at dad and I'm going, dude, you could not be here and it's okay. But mom is here and mom, hey, I scored the goal. There's just something about you ladies that's extraordinary. According to a national poll, 46% of parents say their teenagers' mental health has worsened during the pandemic. A recent report by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention found that the number of emergency visits of 12 to 17-year-olds has increased 31%. In addition, they talk about the amazing help and the resource that the mother is. And it has nothing to do with her education, her experience, her age, anything. It's just, it's a mom thing. A research study of more than 2,000 mothers reported that being well-adjusted as a mother depended largely on how much emotional support was available from other people in their lives. Now, I'm not telling you that our family has it all together, but 2 Mother's Day ago when Bruce and Michelle, my sister and brother-in-law, took us all to lunch, we just went around the lunch table. And we just told my mom how much we loved her and appreciated her. And we captured it on a little camera. And for the next about 7 months before she went on to be with the Lord in February, she had an opportunity to replay that and to listen back to that. And she would often reference the fact of how helpful it was to know that she was loved and supported by her families. And so today, if you do anything for your mom, hopefully you remembered a card. If you didn't make a lunch reservation, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. I'm not kidding. 3 weeks ago, I thought I was just smarty, and I couldn't find any place. I'm literally praying, dear God, please help us find a place. Somebody canceled the reservation. I didn't even care how much it cost for lunch because we're going. There's just something that we want to do for moms. So what do I preach on? What do I share? Well, one of the things that, if you know me, you know this, is that I love the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs has a lot to say about women. Some good, some bad. In fact, it begins, and in Proverbs chapter 2, we read these words. It will rescue you from the forbidden woman, from the stranger with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death, her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her. None reach the paths of life. We don't want any of you ladies that lady. None. But in Proverbs chapter 31, we read the story of what is called the capable wife, the wonderful woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, it's like the ultimate Hallmark card. I'm going to read it for you. And one of the things I want to tell you ladies today is this is not your measuring stick. That should be I should get an amen out of that. Julie, could I get at least an amen from you? This is not your measuring stick. This lady's on steroids, man. I mean, she does it all. She's like the most valuable player mom on the planet. So ladies, I don't want to in any way tell you that you got to do all this stuff or we're not going to like you. It just talks about some of the attributes and characteristics of a woman whose heart is turned toward God. And very simply this morning, I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline. So if you need to sleep, you can go ahead and do that. But we're going to talk about the eyes, her hand, her mouth, and then we're going to focus on her heart. Because if you truly, ladies, desire to be a Proverbs 31 woman, it's all about your heart. It's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if your relationship with Jesus Christ, if your heart is with him, I'm telling you, the Lord takes care of all the rest of the stuff. My friend Rick Randall's going to be here next Sunday. We're going to be away at a family wedding. You will not want to miss. He's going to be talking to you about how you share your faith in the workplace. And just to make it just really exciting, the recently retired chief of police, Brian Manley, is going to be with him. And he's going to talk to you. How do you share your faith as a chief of police? So I'm kind of thinking if you're chief of police, that's a pretty tough spot to share your faith. So here's in Austin. Thank you. And so I'm thinking that ought to be an encouragement to you. But I asked Rick, I said, hey, listen, you do such a great job. I'm excited about that. I'm preaching on Mother's Day. Pray for me. And here's what he said. He said, you know, I came to faith in Jesus Christ at a Mother's Day service. And I said, dude, you are so untraditional, unconventional. I get that. But he said, like everybody else, he said, I go to church on Mother's Day and I'm going, hey, if I really like my mom, if I love my mom, what am I going to do? I'm going to love the Jesus that my mom loves. So let me read for you Proverbs 31. We're going to begin in verse number 10. You just listen. You just listen. It says, who can find a capable wife? Question. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her willing hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. She rises while it's still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her in the city gates. I mean, what an amazing description of all the talents of this woman. I like the fact that there's no name given. Is this, in the eyes of a Solomon, all the attributes of all the women that he could imagine? I mean, are these all the character traits all put rolled into one? I mean, this is like super mom, super woman. And again, I want to say to this to you ladies, this is not your measuring stick of your value or your importance or your impact. Because your value, your importance, and your impact relate to your commitment to God and your family seeing that lived out in your life. So let's look at four things. Let's look, first of all, at her hands. She's a willing worker. Ladies, I want to, on behalf of all the men that are here, of all the kids, the grandkids and the great-grandkids, thank you for being such willing workers. Thank you for all the things that you do that are so extraordinary. The little things and the big things. Obviously, I was too young to know at the time, but my grandfather, my mother's dad, wasn't much in handling any domestic tasks. But he evidently liked hanging out with me when I was really young. The only problem was, before I was potty trained, if ever I were to fill that diaper, I just waited until my mom or grandma came around. And the story goes that on one occasion, it was an exceedingly abundantly experience. And they come back and I'm standing in the corner on some plastic going, ladies, the boy is needing some help. I stand before you to tell you that I am not emotionally scarred as a result of that. But there is not a mom in the world that wouldn't just jump in with both hands and say, let's get this thing taken care of. So mom, thank you for being a willing worker. In verse number 13, it says she selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. Probably not a lot of you are, you know, spinning, you know, cotton, or you're spinning wool and turning it into thread, but you're working with willing hands. Verse number 19, she extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. Her work is faithful. Her work is fruitful. This woman, she cooks, she sews, she manages real estate, and she plants the garden. You moms, you cook, you clean, you drive to soccer practice, you take care of this, you do this, you buy the, all of these things. And I get a kick out of people how they modernize Proverbs chapter 31. In fact, if you want to have some fun, you know, Google search that. And some of the descriptions of some of those attributes are great. But here's the key. Her family needs nothing, and she is generous to the poor. Those of you who know me know that I have a God-given passion for homeless people. And I reflected this morning to make sure that I wasn't making this up, that I was truthful to you. But so many times when moms know that I have a connection with homeless people, they'll come to me and they'll say, tell me how I can be a good example and a witness to homeless people, because I've got my kids in my car and I want them to see me love, you know, and approach them. And I tell them, I say, well, a lot of times people want to give out these goodie bags with all this stuff in them. And that's not bad, but most of the time, if you watch your homeless people for the longest time, they'll open the bag and take out the stuff that they want and toss the rest of the bag. Why? Because they don't have like unlimited arms to carry all this stuff. So what I would do is I would have, you know, maybe three or four different bags of things, maybe a soap, maybe some handy wipes, maybe some bottle of water. And then when you come up to a traffic light, ask them, hey, what do you need? And I tell them, but don't give them any money. In fact, if you want to do something, find a restaurant that's close by, McDonald's or Wendy's or this kind of thing, and give gift cards. Do you know what? And I played it over in my mind again. I've never had a man, sorry guys, ever ask me, what should I do in a situation like that? It's always moms. Why? Because the moms are those examples. And the moms are looking at their kids and they're going to go, however I respond to this homeless person, this is going to be an example to my kids. You look at your wife, you look at your mother, you look at your mother, you look at these ladies, and you ladies have built within you this desire to be that example. You lead with your hands. Number two, her mouth. Her mouth does what? It speaks wisdom. Verse number 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and loving instruction on her tongue. The amazing thing about our moms are our moms love us. And they really have the blank check to kind of tell us where we're coming from. Now, I used to tell my mom, I said, you're not very good at being able to be a true objective observer of my sermons, because she would tell people, oh, he's the best preacher I've ever heard. I said, well, I can't believe you on that. But more times than not, we can trust our mom. Why? Because she lovingly cares. She gives wise counsel to her family and friends. And what I want to tell all of us folks that are not mothers, the counsel that comes from our moms and from our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, I believe in an extraordinary way is wisdom directly from God. And if you turn your back on that, you really are not a wise individual. Number three, her eyes. Her eyes are open to opportunities. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings, verse number 13. She watches out for the needs of her home. I have an illustration of my own wife. A couple of weeks back, she comes to me knowing that I am a total non-shopper. But she is always alert to opportunities. And she said, I would like to make a suggestion. I know you're wanting to get some new jackets. I have a place that's selling jackets for 65% off. And when you find the 65% off ones on this day, they're 50% off of that. That is a woman who seeks opportunities. And guess what? As a non-shopper, I'm loving it. I'm going through the jacket store. Now, the guy's a little put out by me because I'm only looking for the ones that have the 65% off. And I tell him, don't even show me any of the other ones. And so my loving wife is there, and she's got this silly grin on her face. And afterwards she goes, my husband spent more money today than he would have ever. But that's what a mom does. She seeks opportunities for her family, for her husband, and for those around her. She watches out for the needs of her home. And verse number 27, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. You don't get a break from being a mom. It's like forever. But it's a good forever. Because that's how God has wired you moms. This morning, for the first time ever, I got to observe my wife being a grandma. So she's coming in. Marla Jo's awake. And you need to pray just a tad. Marla Jo's, I don't know why, she's a little bit scared of me right now. I don't know. Julie's feeding her a bottle, and then they're playing on the floor. And what does grandma decide? Her grandma name is Juju. So what does Juju decide? We're going to listen to some praise music. And I'm thinking, moms and grandmas are just amazing. They just get this thing. But more importantly than her hands, more importantly than her mouth or her eyes, her heart is faithful to the Lord and to her husband and to her family. And that's what I want you to focus on. Her heart is faithful to the Lord, to her husband, and to her family. Verses 11 and 12, listen to what it says. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. And it's no surprise that she's praised by her children and her works. Verse 28 and 29, her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her, saying, in quotes, many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Translated, baby, you're the best. You're the most awesome. Verse number 31, give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Now, I want you to compare verse number 30 with 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Listen. Verse 30 of this chapter, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothes. Now, by the way, guys, this is not This is not an excuse to say, babe, I cannot buy you any jewelry. That is a total misrepresentation of Scripture. Did I say that right, Julie? Okay, good. Yes. Bring on the bling. It's fine. Back to seriousness. Instead, it should consist of what is inside the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. For you became her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. How do you beautify yourself, ladies? Yeah, we love the fact that your hair looks great and you dress in style and you wear all the appropriate things. You want to be totally beautiful? You have that heart, that imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit. And today, for all of us, let's celebrate these amazing ladies that God has given us. And if you're here today and maybe you're a lady and you've not been able to have children, you come to Mother's Day and it's a tough day. How could Hannah cry out and have a baby and I can't? I want to tell you that you can still have that gentle and that quiet spirit. You say, man, my home experience wasn't that great. The things that you're talking about wasn't that experience for me. Then the thing that I would encourage you to do is to make sure that in the relationships that you have, in any relationship to children or grandchildren, you go ahead and correct course on what it is that you didn't experience and allow God to give grace and to redeem in that. Today, we're looking at a woman who has the beautiful attributes that God's looking for. But not only is this appropriate to women, but it's appropriate to all of us, that our hearts are gentle and quiet and malleable and bendable to the Lord. So let me ask you today, if you love your mother and your mother loves the Lord, then it would only stand to reason that you would love her Lord. And if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, why not consider today, Lord, I give you my life. God, I've seen it in action in my mother, and Lord, I want that for myself. You know, that would be the most amazing Mother's Day gift ever. I've done a lot of funerals for a lot of ladies. And there are a lot of times as I'm visiting with that lady, and we know this is toward the end, and I cannot tell you the number of times that they will say, I'm just so thankful that all my kids have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Make your mom happy, but allow your life to be transformed with the power of Jesus Christ. Maybe it is that you just need to get back in church. I visited with one of you that are here this morning. Lady said that she has four children. Her husband decided after the fourth that he was done, he was gone. She raised him up in the church and she was praying that they would find their way back to the church. Maybe one of the things you could do for your mother this morning is to say, Mom, you know what? I'm gonna join church and I'm gonna come back and be with you. If you're watching online and as soon as you're able, you come back and bring Mom with you. I can't imagine any mom going, no, I'm not going with you. Pick her up, bring her. Take her to lunch every week. It'll be easier than trying to get a lunch appointment today, I promise. Jesus never disrespected his own mother. Very first miracle, Mary goes to Jesus. Hey, they've run out of wine. to everybody, hey, listen to my boy, whatever he says, do it. At the end of the life, as end of his life, he's dying on the cross and he says, hey, my mom, take care of my mom. Jesus loved his earthly mother. And yet he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe Jesus has gifted us with mothers, and we should honor him by honoring and loving them. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for the day to gather in your house, and we thank you for this Sunday every year that we celebrate and focus on our mothers. We pray that they would know our love for them. But God, sometimes, and especially it is with moms, they would much rather see us do something. They'd much rather see an action than to see words, because moms know. They just know. And maybe this morning, Father, what we need to do is we need to come to that point of saying, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ, or I need to come and join the church, or maybe I need to make things right with my brother and sister. Maybe I need to make things right with my mom. Ultimately, this all revolves around our relationship with you. So God, as we respond this morning, I pray that you would lead us and you would guide us as to how we should respond to what you've asked. It's in your name I pray.